moments for the last, I don't know, long time. And I think by doing this, we can't skip verses that are hard, right? Because sometimes we like to pick and choose scriptures that make you feel warm and fuzzy. And we don't like scriptures to challenge us. Right? We like to have it coast along, feel warm and fuzzy, with this fuzzy blanket around us, and we're like, yeah, Lord, I'm good, I'm doing well. I haven't got upset for the last 20 minutes. I haven't done this or that. Right? But I think as the Word of God opens us up, because it reveals things in our own lives, I think as you spend more time with the Lord, you realize how much you need Him. Like, I really know that I need Him more and more every single day. And it's just Him exposing things in my own life. And I have a choice. We all have a choice. Are we going to surrender to what the Lord is revealing? Are we going to deal with it? Are we going to give it to Him? Or are we just going to sweep it underneath the carpet and say, Lord, I'll deal with it later? How does that work when we try to do that? Not very well. But it's amazing how God comes back and says, you need to deal with this. Right? And when we don't want to deal with things, I believe we open doors, because it's also disobedience. Right? And I don't want to be a disobedient child. I think sometimes we could always say, well, that's who I am. I don't need to change. God just loves me for who I am. It's true. He loves you. But He wants to transform you. To become a child that loves and adores Him. To walk after Him. To seek Him. To want to become more like Christ and less of ourselves. To put off that old nature. Because that old nature is about yourself. The Word of God, from cover to cover, who's the main character? Not us. It's about God. It's about who He is. So if you see yourself, it's like, Lord, I'm not the main character. I'm no longer the main character. In our old way, our old life, it was about us. That's who we all cared about. And as a believer and a follower of Christ, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about us living a life that honors our Father. And to be transformed into the likeness of the Lord as we surrender, as we yield, as we deal with things. And so, sometimes we're like, Lord, I don't want to deal with this. I want to run away and hide. It's easier to hide than to face things. Before I became a believer, it's easier because you didn't know any better, really. You could live a life however you felt like living. As a believer, we're called to a higher standard, to be separate from the world, to be different from the world, to be living and to really show the love of Christ to a hurting. How many people are hurting? Even within the church, how many people are hurting outside the church? And we got the good news. And they're hungry for the good news. And they want to be set free. They don't know it, but they know something's better out there, and it's the Lord Jesus. So as we read through Romans 7, verses 7 to 13, pray that we have a teachable heart, and Lord, that we would not put up barriers, we would not become, you know, just Lord, we just want to apply your word. Just teach us your ways. So what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not know I would not have known sin except through the law. Because the law exposes, the law illuminates, but the law cannot save. And so times we become legalistic. Become legal. Become very, like, you got to do this. Instead of surrender to the Holy Spirit to transform your heart. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. That's the 10th commandment. But sin, taking opportunity by commandment, produced in me all the manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but now when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. I'll read verse 14. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. Sold under sin. I don't know, have we ever just pondered what the scriptures were, what he's trying to say? Is the law sinful? The law of God is not. The law is still in effect today. Because it really exposes God's commandments, his statutes. It exposes things in our lives. And we're given the Holy Spirit as a believer who leads us and guides us and convicts us of sin. I think sometimes we're forgetful, we become complacent in our lives. And there's a serious matter if we become complacent. We can't drift along. We can't just say, Lord, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and not surrender anything to you. But the law has a purpose. I think before we could actually really realize and even really appreciate the mercy and the grace of God, we have to realize without Christ, we're a wretched people. We're very selfish people. We realize how ungodly that we are. And when we realize how much we need Christ more and more every day, we become more thankful. We turn into people who really love the Lord and desire Him. When we realize that there's a sinful nature, it's still in working in our own lives, and really realize what Christ did on the cross, then we really realize how much He loves us and how much He desires us to walk after Him. I think Paul, he's trying to teach us, to show us that we are not good. With Christ living within us, He's the one that works in us. He transforms us. He changes our attitudes, our behaviors, if we let Him. I think sometimes this is why we don't like certain scriptures, because it's very convicting. We get very quiet. Maybe you're thinking about the beach right now. It's like, man, I wish I was at the beach today having a barbecue and enjoying the water instead of learning how, because we know our hearts. We know our depravity. We know that we fall short. But what do we do with that? Like, Lord, I know I fall short. I fall short every single day. But Lord, I'm running to you. And I'm repenting, Lord, of my attitude. You know, some churches don't want to say sin. They say, it's just a mistake that you made. So if you say it's no longer sinful, it's just a mistake, then you're undermining the word of God. It's sin. Anything that is disobedience to the word of God, it's sin. It's not a mistake. It's sin. Why did they do that? So it's not so convicting. Well, you just made a mistake. It's no big deal. But the Lord's like, I want to transform you. I want to change you. Paul continues reasoning about the purpose of the law, the work of sin, and our freedom in Christ. One might infer that since we need to die, we need to die to the old nature. And to really allow the word of God to bring his fruit in our lives. When Paul said, I would not have known what covetousness is without the law, how many of us do we know what covet is? When we covet something, what is that? Lusting after something? Maybe we get disappointed with what we have or what we don't have. But I think sometimes we forget and how many of us really looked at the Ten Commandments lately? Where would you find the Ten Commandments? In Exodus? Exodus what? 20, verse 1. What sums up the Ten Commandments? What book in the New Testament? Yeah, in Mark 12, 28-30, it sums it up. It says, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy heart, sums up the first four commandments of the ten. The next six commandments is summed up by loving your neighbor as yourself. And I think sometimes we forget that. The Lord really wants you to love him. And I always think it back. I always go back to Revelation. And the Laodicean church became lukewarm. Why did they become lukewarm? Because they lost their first love. And the Bible says in the last days people will lose their love for the Lord. In the last days people will turn away from what is good and go to what is evil and what is sinful. And I always think, man, I don't want to become lukewarm. I don't want to become that believer forgetting who my Lord is and all that he does for me every single day. How he's at work in my life. I don't want to forget who he is. I don't want to become lukewarm, but I want to become more passionate for him. I think sometimes we forget Romans, we'll read Romans 15:4. It says, for everything that has been written in the past is to teach us. Right there. For whatever things were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Do you have hope today? Like, Lord, if I don't have hope today, then Why don't I have hope? What's wrong, Lord? Is there a disconnect? Am I not walking in obedience to your word? We should be overflowing with hope. And sometimes we aren't. But how is your relationship with the Lord Jesus? How is your walk with the Lord Jesus today? You know, if you're skipping over the Old Testament, you're missing out on endurance, encouragement, and hope. Part of the reason the law existed was to reveal the transgression of men by clearly revealing God's holy standard. The law is not sinful. The law reveals sin. The law exposes the present corruption in our lives. It shines a light on our broken, flawed character. I mean, let's have experienced that. I think too often at times, if you want to be honest. But I thank God for his mercy and his grace and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life to continue to transform me. At the same time, the law illuminates God's holy and perfect character. The law is the direct, in direct conflict with sin. It presents the very standard that sin opposes. Sometimes we don't like living a life that honors God. It's like a light. The law is like a light. It goes into the darkness, reveals what is hidden. The Holy Spirit is now our convictor, and I read Psalm 139, says, Lord, reveal anything in my heart. Search my heart, Lord, see if there's anything in my life that needs to be dealt with. I think it's easy not to read those certain scriptures and just say, Lord, you're God of love, you're God of patience, and just go on and not really fully grasp who God is. He's a holy, righteous God. He doesn't want us to live a life that is just floating through life. He wants us to be on fire for him, desiring him, wanting to know him and spending time with him, reading his word, and to renew our minds from the filth and the junk that we get bombarded every single day with. It's easy to turn on the TV and just escape. You look at drug addiction, alcohol addiction, all these addictions, right? We go to the doctor, we get a pill to help us feel better, to escape the world. Instead of dealing with things in our lives, we'd rather just go to a quick fix thing and say, I'll just have a little more wine today and I'll just forget everything. I'm not saying that drinking, you know, and not getting drunk, but it's okay to have a drink. But, you know, sometimes you see the opium pandemic right now, people overdosing, people going through drug addictions, trying to, what, escape the world. And sometimes that's even within the church. That's why I asked, do we have hope today? Where is our hope found today? Is it things that bring us momentary satisfaction? Or is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? The law really exposes your heart. Because you can say things and do things, but the Word of God really opens you up and exposes the very core of your being. It exposes who you really are. And God knows everything. He knows what's going through your mind. It's like, Lord, I am going through some tough times. Lord, help me in this. And do we keep it to ourselves, or we ask other people for prayer? Do I ask for somebody to come alongside and walk with me during this this life of being a follower of Christ? Or do I say, oh, I'm good, I'll just do it on my own and keep it to myself? Meanwhile, you're getting further and further away from the Lord. So do we allow pride to get in when the first commandment is love thy Lord thy God? Do we want to put him off to the side and do it on our own? Because that gets really tiresome. And you also become legalistic. You say, look, I'm doing all this and this. I love the Lord. I go to church on Sunday. I might go to prayer meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday. I might listen to some worship songs. I'm good. But do you have a relationship with the Lord? Is your relationship with the Lord growing? Don't become legalistic. Say, look at all that I'm doing. I donate and I help with the poor. But your relationship with the Lord is not growing. We could check all these boxes off, but is your relationship with the Lord growing today? Are you seeking him? Truly seeking him? And you think about, why is there so people falling asleep? Why should we not want to be wanting to be used by him? Lord, I know I have these hang-ups, the sinful patterns. I want you to deal with these things. I don't want to make any more excuses why I walk this way or do these things or I talk this way. Do I truly want to give them to the Lord today? Do I really run to the cross as we sung? It's like, do I run to that cross where I lay everything at his feet so that he deals with the sin and gives you new ways, the ability to not desire that sin any longer. The law is not the problem, it's man's heart. The law exposed man's heart. That's what God said. These commandments are to expose your heart. It's always about your heart that the Lord is wanting. Is your heart for the Lord? Or do I desire, well, hopefully in 20 minutes, I'll be quiet and we'll just go off to the beach. Do I really want to grow deeper with the Lord today? Do I want to grow with the Lord every single day? I think of the law, sometimes the law, we might think a law is, well, we don't need to worry about the law anymore. Do we need the x-ray machine? What does an x-ray machine? It exposes in things, your bones, it exposes, it reveals maybe some cancers, it exposes some broken bones, fractures, and all this stuff. Would we say x-rays are not good? Because it exposes maybe some cancers? Or it might give you some bad news? Do I say the x-rays are not good? Because if we say the x-rays are not good, then we say the law is not good. If the law is not good, then really God's word is not holy. God's not holy. Without the law, we would never know what sin is. Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't say that no more, don't worry about the law anymore. The law still convicts us of sin. You know, the law excites man's innate rebellion. Because that's what he was talking about. When I know this law, and I try not to do what the law says, because what the law says, don't do this, and I really want to rebel against the law, and I want to rebel against God, it exposes rebellion in our hearts. Am I really wanting to surrender to the Lord? Or do I have a root of rebellion still in my life? Because we don't like to be told things. Most of us. If I say, don't do this, if I tell my kids, you know what, don't touch that boss. I can remember this one time we were at my aunt's place and came in. Some of this stuff that's in their place is very expensive. We told Zane, not touch this box. And it was my aunt's favorite thing. And it was worth some money. And guess what? He touched it. And it broke. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this thing. But my aunt was gracious. She said, it's no big deal. Sometimes when somebody says, don't do something, what is our intention to do? We want to do it. Right? And why is that? Because we don't think they know any better. We think, I know better. No, God knows better. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows what we should not look at. He knows what we should not be doing. It's not to put us in this cage, but he wants to put us safe. He wants us to be safe. He wants us not to have bondages. He doesn't want us to be getting involved in certain things, because then that will bring death. And that will cause us to be fallen away from the Lord. That would, you know, hear what I'm saying? He does it because he loves you. The law was there to keep us safe, to trust him, to say that, Lord, I trust you because you're saying, do not do these things. Even though sometimes I'm going to rebel and I want to do those things. But I know you have the best intention for my life, to trust you and to grow with you, to rely on you. Sometimes he doesn't, I think, we sometimes there's reveals rebellion in our lives. We like to rebel. Maybe too often we like to rebel. And we're like, Lord, forgive me. But in the rebellion, we're like, man, this is sure feeling good. You know, when Paul quotes from the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, it's the Nelson Bible Dictionary says coveting is an intense desire to possess something or someone that belongs to another person. It means greatly desired, to lust after, that which cannot be legitimately ours. Have we ever done that? I know I have. Sometimes I get jealous, and I'm like, man, I wish I had that. Lord, why did that person have that? But then I know I get convicted, and I repent, and I say, Lord, thank you for revealing that in my life, of area weakness that I struggle with. And Lord, that you would take this, and I pray a blessing over those people who have what I desire, but bless them. Thank you that they have those things. Thank you that they're faithful in those areas of what they have. When we covet things, do we have a want to be like the Joneses? Do I want to be like so-and-so? For breaking the 10th commandment, covetousness. Coveting shows we have lost our contentment in all that God is for us. When I covet for something, I become disconnected with the Lord, because I'm not trusting him for my everything. I'm looking at that momentary thing to satisfy me. Does that make sense? Right. Someone desires, some desires show that we have lost our satisfaction in God, who is our life. And we're longing for other things to make up for the fact that God is not the treasure that's in our heart. covetousness is when he says, don't covet. And I start coveting things. That means I'm really, to me, reveals my heart condition of saying that I'm not satisfied with God right now. I want something better. I want this. I want that instead of God. Who should be satisfying my every desire? And if I'm desiring him more and more, my love for him will grow. And the desires of covetousness will become less and less. Because it's changing my mind. This is why the law is good, because it reveals the heart condition. Is he the treasure that you seek? Is the Lord Jesus the treasure that you seek today? Was it other things? You know, coveting consumes us. Jesus warns against greed and the thinking that we always need more than what we have. Luke 12, verse 15, it says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in abundance of his possessions. I think it's fair to say that we live in a consumer culture built on coveting. As more TV you watch, the commercials are made to want better things. Or not better things, because they're not always better. But they always want you to have the newest, updated thing. That we think, oh, I deserve this. I deserve this. I really deserve this. I deserve that. Is it God's will for you at that moment to have that? Can you be trusting the little things? What's the condition of your heart? Why are you lusting after all everything else? Is my heart longing for the Lord? You know, we need to fight against this by putting in place the words of 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Do I have contentment in the Lord? Am I content with what the Lord has given me or has entrusted me with? In verse 7 it says, for we brought nothing into this world. We brought nothing into this world. And verse 7 continues, and it is certainly we can carry nothing out. So we come naked in this world, and we leave naked in this world. So when we covet and want more and more of what the world is and less desiring of God, what happens to us spiritually? We grow cold. We don't desire the Lord. We desire the things that this world is providing. And I know God provides and gives everybody different measures of blessing. So what you have, be content with. Are we content right now what God has given us? Then use it for God's glory. Don't feel ashamed for what you have. But don't long for what somebody else has. Be content. Say, Lord, I want to have a deeper relationship with you. I want to be content with you. I want to desire you more and more all the time. You know, covetousness is adultery. In Ephesians 5, you have that up. For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We were sons of disobedience before we came to know Christ. So we're no longer to be desiring things that are of this world. For you were once, past tense, darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and in truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What is acceptable to the Lord? Do you know what acceptable, if I would ask you right now, what is acceptable to the Lord right now? The Word of God says, it tells us what's acceptable for the Lord. Obedience. Acceptable, to be acceptable to the Lord is being obedient to what His Word says. If you truly love me, you would do what I say. And I ask myself, Lord, do I really love you? Because, man, sometimes I don't do what you tell me to do. Or you share with me what I should be doing. Lord, sometimes I become disobedient. I become rebellious. If I truly know what you want, I do. Because you want me to live a holy and righteous life. A life that is trusting you, dependent on you. While not walking after my flesh, but putting away desires that are contrary to your word. This is why sometimes we don't like certain scriptures, because when I study this stuff, I'm like, my goodness, man, I don't feel like coming today on Sunday. Is this convicting? He says, in finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Do we know what's acceptable to the Lord? Is my lifestyle, the way I act, the way I live, is it acceptable to the Lord? I'm not trying to sound legalistic, but it's a relationship. If I, in my own marriage, if I don't find out how to love my wife and to become in line with her, be one with her, how can our marriage succeed? Does that make sense? Because if I don't desire to have a deeper relationship with my wife, my marriage will break up. We're just roommates. And I don't want to become cold towards my wife, but I really want to be with her, to love her. And I think that the Lord, He wants us to seek Him, to know Him, to know what is acceptable to Him. And that means we need to, as we spend time in prayer, reading His Word, knowing what is acceptable. And not to become legalistic, but to have a heart that says, Lord, teach me. Help me in these areas so I will grow. It's about relationship with our Lord. You know, the law ignites sin. In verse 8 to 9, it says, because the law is good, it shows that we are bad. The law illuminates the evil lurking in our lives, and at the same time, it stimulates sin in our lives. That's when Paul's like, man, I know what sin, the law is good, but also ignites the sin that's in my old nature. And the phrase sprang up to life reminds us in Genesis 4:7, where Cain, this is where Cain and Abel, and Abel and Cain in Genesis 4:7 talk about Abel and Cain were given a sacrifice to God, and God accepted Abel's sacrifice because it was a blood offering. And Cain gave God not the best. You give him a fruit offering, which God commanded not to be given, because it's full of this, you know, not perfect. So Cain, God warned Cain. And he says, verse 7 says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. You must master it. And he came downcast. Cain, as he goes on, talks about came downcast, his face dropped. Is there sin knocking at our door today that we don't want to deal with? Is there stuff in our lives that we don't want to deal with? The sinful desires that we have. The law, verse 10 to 13, says the law tells us how to live and then condemns us for not living up to it. This addresses to the Jews who believe that the Mosaic law had a life-giving power. The law doesn't extinguish sin, it ignites it. Law living then, even now, leads to death. So that's why we can't become legalistic. Because it brings death. But it doesn't give us the right to go on living in sin. The word deceived means to be charmed. Sometimes sin charms us, enchants us, and seduces us. Leads some of us away, and we stray, and we lose our way. Think of some ways that sin has deceived us. Have you ever been deceived by sin? Have you ever been deceived by sin? Yeah, if you want to be honest. Right? We all have been deceived by sin. You know, maybe you've heard these words. It's not sinful as the Bible says. You're not as sinful as the Bible says you are. In fact, you're a really good person. Or not. What is it in Romans 3:20? We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. None one of us is righteous. So in Romans 3:20 it says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinful by nature, every single one of us. God knows your heart, right? So you're not a good person. Only God can transform your life to become the man and woman that He wants you to become. Only God can do that. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, for doing that. Because that takes a weight off of my shoulders that I don't have to perform or to become legalistic to do all these duties trying to earn your love. And it maybe says, go ahead and do it. No one ever will know. And it's maybe perhaps you heard this, everyone else is doing it. You can't stop this sin or break this addiction because you've been doing for so long. This will satisfy you, fulfill you, make you happy. God really wants you to be happy. You don't need to change. I don't know if you ever heard that one. God loves you for who you are. You don't need to change. You won't get caught. God will forgive you anyways. These are some lies that we believe. Then after sitting, we hear these words. You really messed up. God won't forgive you now. Look how bad you are. What a hypocrite you are. Don't underestimate the deceitfulness of sin. As someone has said, if you hang around the creek long enough, you eventually go sliding in it. If you are on the edge or playing with sin, you eventually will slide into it. No word of a lie, you will. Because I know that I've done that myself. Sin deceives according to James 1:15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. That's why we, like, Lord, I know I'm playing with sin right now. I'm playing with this thought of going through the actions. Lord, I want to take these desires from me. Realize that your best efforts are not enough to overcome sin. Your best efforts will never overcome sin. We call on Jesus to repent and to begin of a life with him. To repent means to do a 180, turn away from it. 1 John 1:9. 1 John, is that on there? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and the word is not in us. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short. But it doesn't give us an excuse to keep on living a life that is disobedient. It's like, Lord, I'm willing. I want you to transform my heart. I don't want these desires any longer. Lord, I want you to take these from me. Lord, I want to have this love for you. I want to read your word and be renewed by your word. That these things that, because even in Acts 2:37. Now you heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, that every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. See, it's not my truth. It's not what the truth what the world says is truth. Only true truth comes from Christ. No, there's no other truth but Christ. To put off. Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And I think that's where we struggle. It's easy to live in the old man because it's comfortable. He's that warm coat, fuzzy little hoodie thing, majiggy, and a warm cup of coffee that makes you feel warm and fuzzy. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So renewed in purpose and aim, character, and do I desire to yield? That's the question I think you should ask. It's like, Lord, do I desire to yield to you? Or do I just want to just live my life? And say that I'm a follower. May your prayer and mine be the revelation of God's holy law in our life and keep us trusting only in our Lord Savior and his power to give us victory in the struggle we face in this life. Walk close to the Lord. Let nothing become between you. I'll finish with Hebrews 12:1-3, and it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles and ensnares us. It's easier said than done, if you want to be honest. Right? It's easy to say this. It's easy to read this and not carry on, but do I really want to let, Lord, take this sin that easily ensnares me, replace it with you. And let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, that has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Chambers says this: conviction of sin brings a man to his hopelessness. Helpless condition until he gets to the cross. Without knowing what sin is, we recognize, if I think I'm a good person and I think I don't need God, unless we realize we need God, we cannot change on our own. We need Christ. Christ is the only answer for all of us. No matter how good you think you are, you cannot. And the law revealed that. It exposed the lies. And that's why we have given the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit who enables you, empowers you to live this life God wants you to live. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I know, Lord, that your word at times is really cuts to the very core of our being. It exposes things in our lives, even things in our lives that we don't want to deal with, that we want to run away and hide and just suppress and just to not want to grow. Father, I pray that, Lord, we would repent of our rebellious spirit, of thinking that I could do it on my own or not caring about what your word says. But Lord, I thank you that you enable us and you help us to live a life that honors you. So Lord, forgive us at times when we have quenched your Holy Spirit in our lives, where we have truly not desired you. But Lord, I pray that you would fan the flame in our own hearts to desire you and to recognize that you have the best intentions for our lives, that you want us to live a life with abundance, with overflowing great joy, that we can have such freedom. And Lord, I just pray that your word would continue to operate in our lives as we take hold and meditate on it, to chew on what's even, how that we would chew on your word more and more all the time. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.